Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Just a little before we do that, just a little bit more background if we could. Of course, Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. And it begins with the Beatitudes that run down through verses 1 through 12. And then beginning in verse 13 in Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" You look at that statement, and undoubtedly he's not talking to lost people there, is he? He's talking to saved folks. In fact, the Beatitudes are for saved folks. And you get the clue back up in verse 1. It says, his disciples came unto him. And so in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, as you see, he's teaching his disciples, but there's this great multitude there that get to listen. And it's true that when we preach, we can preach messages to save people, and lost folks can get saved, can't they? Because they can see what the Bible has to say. So this is for us. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Look at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Cannot be hid. That's interesting. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Here's my verse, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we thank you that we can call you our Father. And we know that it's only because we are adopted into your family that the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave that power to us. The Bible says in John chapter 1, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so tonight we come to you as a father, asking you for guidance, asking you for understanding, asking you to use your Holy Spirit to affect our hearts this evening and to give us, just in the next few moments, something that we can take and use in our daily walk, and something that we can use to glorify you. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you'd be with the folks again that are not here, with each one of them, comfort them, bring them back to us safely. But Lord, help our church to live according to this verse that we're looking at tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that the world is dark by choice in John chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's a dark world. The Bible says in 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. There's a lot of folks walking in darkness. But I asked myself the question, and it's been an opportunity for me lately. I'm not used to, over the course of the past few decades, working with lost people that much. You know, some of you, if you're in the Christian school, you're working with saved people, right? You got to save staff, mostly save students, mostly save parents, and so it's not a daily exposure to lost people. But some people here, oh, Marguerite, for example, let's see, some others, Penny, you work in a situation to where you're around lost people a lot. And I was asking myself the question, and I thought it's good for all of us to ask this question. What is it that people, specifically some things that people could see in us or about us that would cause them to glorify God?
Amen. That's good, Pastor.
Amen. In other words, and I don't know why, I'm completely at least, but my mind immediately jumps to Joseph when he was in prison. And you remember the reason Joseph was in prison, because he was falsely accused. And he wound up in prison. And the Bible says, I'm trying to remember how many times, but at least a couple of times in that passage, the Lord was with him. And he had a good spirit. And before you know it, he was in charge. Seems like every time Joseph went somewhere, he was in charge. And he was not an old man at that time either. He was a young man. What made him different? And I know one thing about Joseph. He even though he was in prison, and I think Psalms, if I recall correctly, even refers to him perhaps having his feet placed in stocks at some point in time. But even though he was suffering in prison, he didn't get a bad attitude. Now, if you don't work with lost people, or if you haven't worked with them lately, my wife works with lost people all the time, so she'll relate to this. But if you don't work with them, it may be kind of, you may have to work at it to see what I'm about to say. But folks, just simply, here's what the Lord is saying to us, and I'm not paraphrasing, I'm just explaining. People ought to see a difference in us. Amen. And it ought to be a significant enough difference that it would point them towards God. Why? People ought to be asking the question, why? What makes them the way they are? Not bad the way they are, good the way they are. What makes them have a good spirit? What makes them pleasant to be around? What makes them upbeat instead of discouraged all the time? You've heard me talk about one of my favorite cartoon characters as a bad example is Eeyore. You know, Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh. You know, if you said to Eeyore, "Eeyore, it's a sunny day." "Yeah, but it's going to rain later." You know, he's just got a bad attitude. And Eeyore's not a good example of letting your light shine before men. Tigger, on the other hand, you can't get him to stop bouncing around all the time. He's just happy about everything. And we ought to be different. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't... Well, how can I say this? I don't think you have to work at it. I think you have to let the Lord do some things in your life so that you're just that way. That, you know, you can meet some very unpleasant people out there, but that doesn't mean we have to be one of them.
That's right, amen.
Amen? And in fact, when the Holy Spirit lives in you, does he not change the way you see things? And if you're spending time with God and you know some things, when you're around people, do you see the lost souls? Or do you just see somebody? And my point there is, when you see the lost soul, you realize this is a person that I could reach if God would let me. Amen? Just a couple of things. I just jotted some stuff down here that I think would help us to let, again, if you work with saved people all the time, you have to go out and find some lost folks. Amen? Maybe some neighbors or some store workers or something. But verse 14, ye are the light of the world. And then verse 16, let your light so shine before men. You got to have a light. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus is the light of the world, and he makes us the light of the world. And so, first of all, you can't do this if you're not saved. And I think it's accurate to say you can't do this unless, you can't do this if you're backslidden. You can't do this if you're walking in the flesh, if you're carnal. Won't get into the details there, but the point is, if you're living a carnal life, this is not likely to happen. But you can let your light shine before men. The word is let. It doesn't say something there about causing it or making it. It's just something that ought to be natural. In fact, what did he say earlier? He said back in verse 15, he says, well, verse 14, he says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You don't light a candle to put it under a bushel. It almost sounds like we almost have to work at it to keep people from seeing the light that God has put in us.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. So maybe the message is unnecessary. Maybe rather than saying, the message is accurate. Let your light shine. You haven't got to force it. Just let God work through you.
Amen.
He wants to. If you don't have a light for other people to see, you're not saved. And that's complicated to explain, but you know what I mean. But we're saved, amen?
Amen.
Dan Ball is probably for an awful long time going to be in a lot of people's hearts as somebody that as much as he was suffering, he still trusted God.
Amen. Amen.
And if you ever went over to see him when he was ill, before he passed into eternity, if you went to see him, he was suffering, but he was not a dejected, defeated, bitter person. He consistently kept saying, God's good, God's going to have his will, and he trusted God. That's the way we all ought to be. And probably nobody here has suffered physically the way he has suffered. But it wasn't that you had to go looking for it. He just let it come out. He trusted God. You ought to be who you are as a Christian. Let it happen. Don't hide it. You can't hide it, according to verse 14, truthfully. You can try. I every time I see verse 15, I think about the fact that if you put a bushel over a candlestick, why did you light the candlestick to begin with? And the question is, why did God give us a light to begin with? Amen?
Amen.
Quick thoughts, and I'm going to finish pretty fast here. Let's just think about a couple of things. How can we let our light shine? What can people see in us? If there's a light there, what can people see that's going to let them know that we are different? And one of the big ways, I think, and we mentioned it tonight, is the way we talk. Amen?
Amen.
I work in a pretty rough environment right now, and there's a lot of foul language. I do not need to use foul language. I am not drawn to use foul language. When I use foul language, when I hear foul language, it makes me cringe when I hear somebody else use it. And there are some people that just can't talk without using foul language. That's kind of interesting. If you just talk right, people will notice. There's a couple of things that you and I have, several things that you and I have introduced into our vocabulary, and when you say them, people kind of jump back. One of them is amen. You say amen a lot? I do. My stupid cell phone, if I say amen, it writes, hey, man. It doesn't understand amen.
It's lost.
It's a lost cell phone. That's right. And it's not going to get saved. It is possessed. It's not going to get saved. No. Amen. I say that a lot. Do you say Lord willing?
Yes.
Amen. You say Lord willing in the right place at the right time. People are like, what? But that's the way it is, isn't it? We trust the Lord. If the Lord is willing, it's going to happen. If he's not, it won't. Say it again. Praise the Lord. Yep. Say that all the time. Praise the Lord. And now think about it. Watch me. When you're around people and you're about to say praise the Lord, doesn't the devil try and stop you? Let your light shine. Just the way we talk. Rather than using the foul language, I'm going to do this tomorrow. Look for opportunities to say things that draw people's attention to God. God's good. Just to say that quite quickly, we say God's good. Or praise the Lord. Or, that kind of thing. Amen. And you say, well, people will think I'm weird. No. Amen. Yeah. The Bible says we're peculiar people. Amen.
Amen.
They might not think you're weird. They might think you're different in a good way. That might be the devil's perception that you're weird. But it's not the truth. The way we spend our time certainly shows that light, doesn't it? Lots of things that we could talk about there. But, for example, I don't hesitate. Somebody asked me today, they said, what are you going to do tonight? I'm going to church. They don't quite comprehend that, especially on a Wednesday night. Maybe on Sunday morning, if you had to, under duress, you'd go to church, but not Wednesday night. No, we go to church. Amen?
Amen.
It's very important to be here in church on Wednesday night.
Amen.
We pray. And that makes a huge difference, and we encourage each other, and we open the Word of God, and God speaks to us, and it's important to be in church. What a better place to be than in church, amen? Let folks know. The way you spend your time is going to be one of the ways you let your light shine. The way you treat people. Folks, the world is vindictive. In other words, when somebody does something bad to them, they do something bad back. Christians are forgiving. And that kind of confuses people sometimes. Have you ever had somebody, and it happens every now and then, either intentionally or unintentionally offend you, and you go out of your way to be nice to them and help them after that? The world just doesn't understand that. And then the way we treat people, not just when we're offended, but just in general, just being nice to folks, just trying to help folks, just caring about folks. Oh, as long as I'm at it, being good workers, amen?
Amen.
It doesn't surprise me that some folks here in this room have got great responsibility given to them because they did a good, godly job, and there are few people that do that, and though they were promoted. I had a new fellow in Utah that just kind of jumps out in this illustration, and his name was Scott, Scott Ledoux, a guy in our church. He did not know much of anything about motorhomes or cars, but he got a job working for an RV shop that I had done some programming for and some other work for. And I was talking to the owner of that RV shop, and he had a pretty good-sized shop. And he said, you know, he said, Scott Ledoux goes to your church, doesn't he? And I said, yeah. And he said, you know, I wish I had 10 of him. He said, he's always on time. He works hard all day. He doesn't goof off. He doesn't necessarily, he's not really great at what he does, but if you give him a job, he'll figure out how to get it done. Amen?
Amen.
And why? The Bible tells us that we should serve our employer the way we would serve God, doesn't it? So the way we behave, people ought to see a difference in us, that we're not like the rest of the world because we have a light. And we want the world to see that. And if it does see that, then somewhere along the way, we need to let them know why we have a light, that we're different because we're God's people. And then they glorify God and they say, hey, maybe that's the secret. Maybe that's the way you get to be different, is by knowing God. And that's the whole point here, is to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we respond to difficulty and trials? I was talking to a guy today, and his problem is he's about half lazy. And there is a boss at this place that makes this guy work. And this guy said, I just can't stand this boss. And he named the boss. And I really don't know that I can think of anybody I would use those words to describe. You can stand everybody. There's some people that are less pleasant than others. But we do the best we can, amen, and we get along pretty well with most everybody. And I tried to explain to the young man that the boss wasn't the problem, but he didn't want to hear too much of that. How do we respond to difficult people, to difficult situations? How do we respond to disappointment? You know, Brother Mendez, for example, I doubt very seriously if he lost his testimony with the pharmacist today. He was probably tempted. But what do you do? You know, here's the thought, folks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes. Amen? Pastor, I don't like the way that went. That situation, I don't like the way it developed, somebody says. I don't like what's happening. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
And when you look at things that way, just keep reminding yourself, I am where I am. I'm doing what I'm doing. My situation is what it is because God's in control. Amen? And I don't know why God does what he does, but I know he sure gets good results, doesn't he?
Amen.
Joseph, brothers threw him in a pit, sold into slavery in Egypt, went to work for Potiphar, did a great job for Potiphar, wound up in prison, stayed there too long. Why all that? So he could do the great thing of saving his family from famine so that we could have a savior. That's the way God works. I don't know why God does things sometimes, but he's got a reason.
Amen.
So when you're, you know, did you ever, I've used this illustration, it's getting worn out, but when you get on that ride at the amusement park and you wonder, why did they go that way or what? No, you don't do that. You just get on and enjoy the ride. You wonder, why did God take me this direction? I thought it should have gone left and he went right. I thought it should have gone up and he went down. And folks, in the end, everything God does Well, wait a minute. I got a verse for you. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. We're going to get to heaven and you're going to look back and you're going to find that your life was mapped out perfectly. That makes it easy not to be bitter. That makes it easier to forgive people. You say, somebody hurt me. Yeah, I've been hurt. And I have to stop and remind myself, God could have stopped it. God allowed it. God must have had a purpose in it. I'm just going to have to wait and see what God's doing. He may never tell me directly, but I know he's doing what's best. How do we respond when people are difficult, when situations are difficult? If we respond right, people will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Amen? We need to work on this. Everything that we do, when other people see us, is an opportunity for our light to shine. And the ultimate objective is that they would glorify God because he lives in us. And again, it's not so much working at doing it as it is let God work. He wants to. Maybe we need to pray. I know sometimes we can get a bitter spirit, or sometimes we can get discouraged, or sometimes we can get frustrated, or sometimes we can get confused, might be a word to use. And we just need to stop and say, Lord, I'd like for you to shine through me. Amen? People, such difficult situations, difficult people. Lord, I'd like for you to shine through me so that others can see in me something that would point them to you. Amen. You listen to testimonies like John's wife gave this weekend. Somebody did something that drew her attention to God, and she got saved. I don't know if you heard the story of Mitsuo Fuchida. Anybody ever heard of Mitsuo Fuchida? Mitsuo Fuchida was the pilot that led the raid on Pearl Harbor for the Japanese. And I think, if I remember correctly, Mitsuo means son number three. He had brothers, and he was just the number, you know. But Mitsuo Fuchida was a Buddhist, and after the war, he was living in Japan, and the situation was very difficult, and Japan was really a destroyed country. And there was a lady that was a missionary. I think it was a lady. It was a missionary. And her family had been murdered by the Japanese on some island. And she was in Japan as a missionary trying to help the Japanese. And I can't remember the story's details now. It's been so long since I read it. But in a nutshell, what happened was he was so perplexed. How can this person whose parents were murdered by the Japanese come to Japan to help us? That just doesn't make sense. What would it take to make somebody that different that they would be willing, after what the Japanese did to their parents, to come and minister to the Japanese people? And ultimately it led to his salvation. Somebody had a light shining, amen? Now, you know, if a certain group had murdered your parents, I've known people even since we came here to Arizona that have said, well, I hate the Japanese for what they did to our people. But somebody said, you know what? God loves them. God sent his son to die for their sins. They need to hear the gospel. They need to see the love of Christ. And in spite of what they had done to this lady's parents, she went there, and because of that, people got saved. That's light shining in darkness. Amen? But you're going to have to be different to be seen. If we're dark the way the rest of the world is dark, no one's going to notice us. Amen? So my prayer would be, Lord, let me be a light that people can see. Enough that it would point them to God. And just a hint, you're going to have to talk about God a little bit so they can realize where it comes from. I'm not just a good person. I'm not a good person really at all, but I'm not just a good person. I am the way I am because God made me that way. Amen? And then let people see it.